Say your washing machine breaks down and you need a new one. You don't have enough cash to buy a new one, so what do you do? If we're having regular quiet times with God, when something unexpected like this happens, we'll remember to pray to God first.
This is a saying from the richest and wisest man who ever lived. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do you recognize the quote? The words of King Solomon from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In these verses, King Solomon is saying to trust God with everything. But does that include our finances? Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. On our previous three programs, we've explored some of the ways that God has called Christian men to handle their money. Today, we finish our series on handling money in a biblical way with a look at how to live a life that is truly the abundant life Jesus referred to. This is a program you don't want to miss, so please stay tuned with us.
At Champions Arise, we want you to finish well the race of life. And this series of programs is designed to help. There is no doubt that this world is filled with distractions. Allow for the still small voice of God to break through the cacophony of noises that surround you and determine in your heart to follow His design for your life, marriage, and family. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org. championsarise.org.
Kent, many men have memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. As a matter of fact, it's really one of my key scriptures. And I had an experience early on in my walk with the Lord where this was just burned into my mind. And so very quickly it comes to my mind, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us know this verse, but yeah. It seems like not too many are faithfully applying it to their finances.
Well, you know, in our previous programs, we talked about the lack of contentment we often have, and we looked at the major problem Christians have with overspending and acquiring debt. You know, I think if we were really following Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we'd see less financial problems in Christian homes. And, you know, there's an expression, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And I don't want our listeners to think that we are throwing stones at them.
Let me get the stones out of my pocket. Absolutely not, of course.
but here at Champions Arise, we believe we are called by God to challenge and equip men to deepen their relationship with God, to lean on Him and trust Him more fully in their daily lives. And that means addressing important issues like money handling. We want to show Christian men a better way. And that better way is trusting God and His principles.
In every area of our life, including how we handle our money.
That's right. And I want to share a story of a man who did this. True story. It's a longer story, but I think it's important to look at because the principles we'll see are biblical, so we can apply them in our lives. This story is about a man named Ben. You know, Ben's dream was to own a construction company that built houses. So he went to college and learned the necessary skills to succeed in the construction trade. But Ben also worked to have biblical skills as well. Mm. You know, during this time, he studied every verse in the Bible he could find on being a good businessman and managing money in a way that honored God. You know, Ben graduated from college, but he had a dilemma: no money. Mm-hmm. So he went to work for a contractor. And during this time, Ben saved his money, got married, started a family, and continued his quiet times with God. He made a disciplined effort to meditate on God's word and apply what he had learned. It was in this period of Ben's life that he developed two strong convictions about money. First, he believed the Bible was clear about minimizing debt. And second, Ben believed that because he was a steward of God's finances, he should use his financial resources to advance God's purposes. You know, one verse that particularly impacted Ben was Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. So Ben faithfully served the Lord until the big day came. And Foster, I see you're nodding at me.
Yes. We need to take a little break here and to let those who have joined us late know what they're listening to. And it's Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and the man telling the story, by the way, is Kent Darcy. Today we're discussing how to have a life that reflects the abundant life Jesus desires for us. So, Kent, you were saying that Ben's big day had arrived.
Yes, yes. He was finally able to start his own company. And that was great. But financially, Ben's faith was tested many times, particularly that first year. You know, he'd have those moments when he'd think, you know, will God provide if I keep my commitment to avoid borrowing money? I mean, remember, this is a company with employees and vendors. But Ben was obedient to what God had called him to do, and God honored Ben's obedience. That first year, his company built three houses using only a no-interest account at the lumberyard. The next year, they built and sold eight homes, all without debt. And by the seventh year, his company had grown and was now building 50 homes a year.
With no debt?
With no debt.
Wow, that sounds unheard of in the construction industry.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But that is what God had called Ben to do. And it served him well, because a big drop in the housing market occurred. But since Ben had no debt, he was able to sell the homes he built for less than his competition and still make a profit. And as a result, he still had work when other companies were forced out of business.
It's amazing how God can work when we're obedient to his word.
Yes, it is. But Ben's story doesn't end there. During the years Ben was building houses, he continued his quiet times and studied the Bible on the principles of business and giving, and he continued to apply those principles in his life. Foster, remember last week we talked about how giving generously was part of a balanced financial life, and how giving didn't always have to be money?
That's right.
Well, when Ben was older, you know, in his late 50s, he began to take off during the months when business was slow. And he would travel to South America, where he taught hundreds of new believers in a number of countries how to manage their money biblically. In fact, Ben helped a number of missionaries live a balanced financial life.
And let me just mention that last week, we discussed how to live a balanced financial life. You can listen to that program called A Balanced Perspective at our website, championsarise.org. Ken, this is such an inspiring story. Mm-hmm. Ben sounds like a man deeply committed to following God's wisdom instead of the world's.
Mm-hmm. You know, Foster, it's interesting. Ben was not living for building houses. He was living for the eternal impact he could have with his life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal." Ben wanted to live by storing up treasures in heaven, and he did. He eventually reached the point where he gave half of all his income to support missionaries and their ministries.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine the contentment and the peace and the joy you'd have if your finances were stable and in such a way that you could do that?
You know, and last week, we learned that it's not about the amount of money you have. It's about our hearts desiring to serve God with the money we have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that reflects a truly abundant life. But as challenging and encouraging as Ben's story is, this is not about Ben. It's about us, each one of us men. And most of us, you know, haven't been entrusted with a construction company. However, God has entrusted many of us with wives and families, and God's financial principles apply there too.
So what are some of the principles that we can glean from Ben's story?
Well, you know, the first thing we notice is Ben had a commitment to quiet times with God. And our listeners can go to our website, championsarise.org, to hear the programs where we discussed quiet times. But basically, quiet time with God is a daily time where a man spends time with God by reading the Bible, reflecting on what he's read, and praying to God about what he learned from those scriptures. You know, daily quiet times are essential for developing that deep relationship with God that Ben enjoyed.
And that certainly seemed to be a recurring theme in Ben's story.
Well, it was. You know, another principle we saw was that he continued his regular study and meditation on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, attending church every week is very important, but we only remember about 15% of what we hear during the service.
Wow, 15%?
I mean, that's it. You know, so it's very important for us to take additional time to memorize verses and meditate on verses so that they become a part of us. You know, that way, when challenging situations arise, we think of God and his word first. You know, for example, say your washing machine breaks down and you need a new one. You don't have enough cash to buy a new one, so what do you do?
Well, a lot of men would go buy one and put it on a credit card.
True. But if we're having regular quiet times with God, when something unexpected like this happens, we'll remember to pray to God first. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, Foster, does this verse say all your worries and cares except washing machines?
No. But we treat it that way sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, more often than we'd like to admit.
Yeah. Okay, let's be real here. Yeah. And this is important because we have men listening to us that this type of situation happens to them. So you pray. And then what?
Okay. Well, then we do something that's very hard for most of us. We wait on the Lord. We wait for an answer from Him. You know, we're a very now-oriented society. Mm-hmm. You know, instant gratification with no inconvenience. And a broken washing machine is a great example.
It certainly is. I mean,
say we pray for a week, and maybe we do some fasting too. And, you know, we haven't talked about fasting, but, you know, listeners can ask their pastor or religious leader about that. But after a week of praying, you haven't heard anything. What do you do? Well, I mean, unless having a washer is a medical need, I'd keep praying.
Yeah, but what about the laundry?
Well, you go to the laundromat. I mean, go to a friend or a relative. I mean, is it inconvenient? Yeah. Is it a hassle?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's embarrassing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But you're the spiritual leader of the house. Remember, the target we're aiming for is a balanced financial life, and that is going to take some tough decisions. And if you have to go to the laundromat for a couple weeks before the Lord provides an answer to your prayer, you, man of God, you go to the laundromat with your wife, or go to the laundromat for your wife.
Oh, boy.
You know, show her how much you want to be debt-free. Show her how committed you are to following the Lord and letting Him be the Lord of your life. Show her what a real Christian man looks like. You know, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. This may be hard, but it is in our challenges that strongholds are broken.
And we can move toward true life, a life that stores up treasures in heaven.
Yeah, and that's the last principle we can glean from Ben's story. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the discipline of time with God and time in His Word and memorizing Scripture. You know, Galatians 6, verse 8 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Thank you, Kent. You've reminded me of Paul's words in 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Here's Edmund Speaker, founder of Champions Arise.
Man was created to live in relationship with God, but was separated by sin. Through the cross of Christ, the penalty of sin was paid. By praying in faith, we are reconciled and become children of God. So prayer first changes us. And when we pray for others, God allows us to participate with Him in changing people and circumstances.
To learn how prayer is at the heart of Champions Arise, go to our website, championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today we discussed how to have a life that is truly life. This program is based on Lesson 4 in the book Every Man a Warrior, Volume 3 by Lonnie Berger. You can find more information on this book and listen to any of the programs in this series at our website, championsarise.org. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man He knows you can be.